Hello and welcome to Utah State, or Ole Utah State. I'm Sean.
And I'm CJ.
And you're listening to this on KBLU 92.3, Logan, Utah. So today we got some soccer for you.
As usual.
As usual, yes. So we're going to start off with our recap for the week. So Real Salt Lake played last night against the Seattle Sounders. And if you looked at the scoreline, you saw that we lost 2-1. And you might be wondering, okay, Seattle's at the bottom of the table. How did they beat us when we're sitting at third in the table? And Seattle's actually had kind of a miraculous turnaround here the last couple weeks.
Yeah, they're doing all right. Throughout the offseason, they lost their main striker, Obafemi Martins. They sold him to China, and he's making tons more, if that's even possible, than he was being paid in Seattle. And after that, they really struggled to find someone who would take that role and be as explosive in the attack as he was. And I know that they put all of their cards on their homegrown player, Jordan Morris, who's about 19 years old. And that's fine, and that's great. But they really lost something in the attack that Obafemi Martins provided. They recently signed a new player, Ladero, I believe is his name, from Uruguay. And he scored last night, had an assist on the other goal. I mean, he's a great player for them, great pickup. On top of that, they just recently fired their head coach, Siggy Smith, who has been their head coach ever since they became a team in the MLS. So it was a kind of hard for them, but it seems to be working, I guess.
Right, and also on the Real Salt Lake side, we had Olave come back in for Aaron Mond, who had a foot injury, I believe, and they said that Jeff Cassar had commented that saying it wasn't great, so he was just kind of letting him rest. And Olave, again, made another great appearance, and I actually remember texting CJ last night saying, where'd we get the younger Olave from?
Yeah, he did all right. I mean, it's tough. Yeah, turf is always tough. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to find too many positives in a result like that. But, I mean, I wonder, as I was watching parts of the game, I was curious about our old guys. I'm wondering if they can hack it anymore. Javier Morales wasn't coming back at all. He was not coming back. He was not moving forward. He was kind of just hanging out. And you wonder if his veteran presence is enough on turf fields. Right. I think that maybe not. Maybe you rest him whenever we play on turf and start Jordan Allen instead, because he wasn't making the runs that we are used to him seeing.
Right.
And I'm wondering if it's because turf was just too hard on him. The ball skips way too fast. He can't get to it in time.
Right.
And maybe a younger guy, I mean, I don't know. So what do you do? Do you go with experience or do you go with, you know, fitness?
Yeah, no, I was surprised that we didn't sub in. Is Jordan Allen injured?
I don't know. I think he was for a while. I don't know whether or not he was on the 18. I didn't look too closely, and we didn't make too many subs. Well, Yura came in, and I think Yura that was Naholness came in
and
Sturzer.
So we used all three, but...
But I don't know. I think that if Allen was available, Sturzer would not have come in, or Holness. So he must still be injured.
Yeah, because that's what I was waiting for, honestly. I saw the same thing, like Javier not performing as well as he normally does, and so I was waiting for him to bring in either Omar Holness or Jordan Allen and you know, get that attack back in our midfield, because obviously Kyle, like, he stays back, he's defensive, and Javier's supposed to be the one that's up front, and Luke was doing okay. You know, Luke had his moment of the night where he had that shot right in front of the goal, you know, perfectly laid off to him, and he just skied it. And I don't know if that's because of the turf. Maybe he just planted and, you know, couldn't get his body over the ball or what. But that was probably one of our chances that we wish we could have back.
That's a game that we wish we could have back.
Yeah.
We're really going to be looking down at the end of the season, and you kind of hope that this doesn't undo us. You know, this doesn't keep us from a playoff spot or... Yeah. a better playoff spot. You know what I mean? And mm-hmm. It's hard to come back week after week and discuss, well, we hope that this doesn't happen again. One thing I liked about having it on Sunday was, so just so everyone listening knows, Sunday games are usually played because either ESPN or Fox Sports 1 has picked that up. Mm-hmm. And so every other game is usually on a Saturday, Friday, Telemundo. I don't know exactly. Right. Univision, that's who it is, who picks them up. And it's just part of a TV deal that these broadcast networks have with the league. And it makes for some great Sunday games and Friday games. Unfortunately, right. We're in Utah and we don't have the advantage of being able to play on too many Sundays. So we were only given one this week or this year. And that's fine. But what I liked about it being on Fox Sports 1 was there weren't any homers broadcasting. What I mean by that is there weren't people who were afraid to badmouth the team or to at least call it like it was.
Right.
I don't know how many times the announcer said, I don't even know why Real Salt Lake isn't going forward.
Yeah, they were just sitting really far back.
They just cut the lead in half, and Mavsisian got the ball in the box at one point, and he was surrounded by six Seattle players and had no one to lay it off to.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's Burrito, that's Javi, that's Blata. I mean, so many players who just weren't there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's just uncalled for, and it's kind of ridiculous. And even Kassar was telling the team to go forward. I know that one of the announcers mentioned that when she talked to him, he said, we got to get numbers forward, and it just wasn't happening.
Right, right.
And it's really frustrating, and I wonder if the old guys just can't hack it anymore.
Yeah. Well, and the crazy thing was, too, so, you know, in other games, we've kind of relied on Burrito. We can lay it off on him, and he can get it up the field. Obviously, he's a really gifted dribbler and things like that. But last night on turf, and this is what I want to pin it on, was his turf, because he was dribbling, and he wasn't as good as he normally is, like, on grass.
Well, to be fair, he's been struggling of late.
But, like, last night, it seemed like every time he got the ball, I mean, there were sometimes, as long as nobody tried to contest him, he would be able to go up. But every time he tried to make a move, the ball would go too far. He would, you know, touch it too heavy or whatever. And I remember, you know, going back to our very first show where we talked about turf versus grass and how turf just affects the ball so much different. And, like, the ball moves so much faster. And I don't know if that had an effect also with him struggling lately. Like, but it was really frustrating to watch. And then, like you said, watching our team just sit back while we had, you know, we scored that goal. And for those.
It really was a fluke. For those who didn't watch.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
It was basically like something that happens on FIFA. The goalie had the ball for Seattle, and he goes to throw it, and it, like, bounces off the ground kind of weird, and Yura is just right there to pick it off.
Yeah.
Like, that doesn't happen. And even that, we struggled to score. Yura almost gave it away, somehow got the ball through to Plata, who put it in the open net. But, like, it was still a crazy goal. You should definitely go back and watch the highlights on it just to see it for yourself. But, I mean, we score, like CJ said, a fluke goal that puts us back in the game.
And we don't send numbers forward.
Yeah.
It's just, and I don't think it's for a lack of coaching. I think that the fact that Kassar mentioned – these guys need to move forward.
Right.
I don't think it was a lack of drive. Okay. Yeah. Obviously our players have drive. I think it was just a lack of being ready in the turf beating them up.
Right.
Morales wasn't making any runs.
No,
at
no,
all.
No.
And it was just really frustrating to see that, especially coming off of last week where he had 3 goals in 3 games.
Right.
You know, a handful of assists. I mean, he was just crazy last week, and then this week to see him drop off so much.
Right.
We just can't have that in this league. We can't have that.
No, anymore. We gotta have consistency.
Yeah, and if that means slotting out Morales for, you know, Allen or Holness, who still needs to learn. Not everyone can be Justin Glad, you know what I mean, type prodigy of a player. But I think it needs to happen, and it begs the question, are our guys done?
Are, like, our veteran players?
Are they done?
You know, and you hate to say it because, I mean, these are the guys that have been the face of our team. Yeah. you know, but I feel like, I mean, obviously we've seen it a little bit. Javi gets rested quite a bit. He'll play, you know, he'll play a lot of minutes, but then he'll be rested for multiple games after that. For the first time this year, Kyle has been rested, which has never happened before. Kyle's always been our guy that's always in. And he's even been rested a couple games, where he'll come out at like the 70th minute or, you know, just to get some rest. And then, you know, you look at the rest of our lineup. Obviously, Nick, he gets rested a few games here and there. And then on our back line, it's kind of interesting because we'll actually bring Olave in. But essentially, Olave is being rested as well. Wingert had that injury from last week. So there's been a lot more resting and a lot more transition. But as we said last week, it's been pretty cool to watch how Jeff Kassar has brought up our younger players. Because before this year, I didn't ever feel comfortable pulling one of those guys out.
No, you never did. No, no. Exactly. I mean, the idea of bringing Javi off for even Jordan Allen, who is phenomenal.
Yeah.
It was a dangerous. And it, not only was it dangerous, it was kind of like, are you serious?
Yeah.
This is not okay. You know, we shouldn't be taking off our best playmaker, arguably one of the best playmakers in the league history, for such a young kid.
Exactly.
You know, but now I wonder if you need to leave him out entirely some games. I think we have the players that can step up. I think Garcia's been stepping up.
Yeah.
Last night we subbed him off because we needed that bigger presence in Yerim Ovsesian, and it led to a goal.
Right.
That I don't think happens if Garcia was in, that honestly.
Yeah.
But I mean, I don't know. Sometimes you got to trade speed for precision, I believe.
Yeah.
And on turf was one of those times. Unfortunately, we didn't. Because the thing about turf is, like we talked about a few months ago, you have to be really precise in your passing and your dribbling and your shooting.
Right.
Or you have to be quick so that you can get that ball that bounces a different way or goes a little too far.
Which is another frustrating thing that happened last night. Like, watching the game, there was at least three specific times I remember where Seattle would get the ball at midfield and one player would just run past all our guys.
Yeah.
I know Morris did it a few times.
Morris.
Jay Jones did it quite a few times running up that side. And basically what it looked like is they were just overloading our defense.
Yeah.
And we didn't know how to respond to it. And then, you know, Justin Glad did really well. He definitely faced some people that were a lot faster than he was.
Yeah, took Dempsey down a couple times.
Yeah, he took, which I was so happy for. I was not happy with Clint Dempsey last night, so
right.
I was happy to see him hit the ground a couple times. And then also it brings to like light that PK that was given towards the, I think it was in the second half, and you know, they come down. It's Glad on, I don't remember who the person was.
Ladero or Dempsey?
I think it was Ladero.
Yeah.
So they go down and Glad challenges him for the ball in the box and maybe bunts him a little bit. I don't know if it justified a PK.
I don't think so.
But.
And it's tough. Listen, Sean and I, we don't want to talk about the refs too much. We don't want to talk badly because one thing you can always be sure of is the ref will never be on your side.
Exactly.
Ever. Right? So we don't want to. But. Last week, for those of you who didn't hear, there were two PK calls that went unnoticed in the New York Red Bulls versus LA Galaxy game.
Mm-hmm.
Two PK calls that, if completed and made, would have won New York the game. And the league had to come back and say this past week, hey, listen, we're sorry. They were wrong. Those were actually PK calls that weren't called.
Yeah.
You know, and kind of, if nothing else, set out, hey, we know that this is a problem. We apologize to the fans. We're working on what we can do.
Right.
And so what that does, I assume, is it puts more pressure on the other refs.
Right.
Because they don't want to be, I mean, listen, Sean and I work together. Neither of us want to be talked down at work. We don't want someone to come in and say, whoa, you're doing that completely wrong.
Yeah.
And if that ever happened, well, then the other one would just work even harder.
Yeah.
Right? And start calling things that may or may not be there. So we can totally understand that, whether or not justified a PK, though.
I don't know. And you know, and then the worst part about this whole thing was this was Clint Dempsey who came up to take the PK. And like I said last night, if you guys watched the game, I'm sure Clint Dempsey was not your favorite person on the planet.
Right.
So he steps up for the PK, and he actually misses. He hits the bar. Yeah. It bounces up and down on the line, doesn't go in, and they end up not scoring on that. So, you know, the announcers, like CJ were saying, that were very, like, from a non-biased point of view,
yeah,
were saying, like, this could be easily 5-0 for Seattle if Seattle scored on all the opportunities that they had. You know, and Nick obviously had some good saves, like he always does.
Glad had some great defensive
plays. Yeah, and even Olave.
Olave had great defensive plays.
Exactly.
You know, a lot of we put a lot of numbers in our box to block those shots.
Yeah.
We just didn't do it in theirs to make ours. But that's all right. It's just another frustrating result. And right. to cap off the weekend that started with a USA women's national team loss.
Right.
I mean, what happened there? Sean, you watched some of it,
yeah,
right? You at least watched the PKs. Tell me what happened there.
So basically, it just looked like the U.S. wasn't on top of their game. I mean, they were getting lots of shots and maybe some shots I'm sure that some of those players would like to have back.
Okay.
There was one where Carly Lloyd, I mean, literally missed by inches.
And we should mention, for those of you guys who don't know, Carly Lloyd scored a hat trick in the World Cup final in like 26 minutes last year or 2 years ago.
Yeah, and that was the thing. Like, I was explaining to some of my roommates back home who don't follow soccer quite as closely, especially women's soccer. And I was explaining to them, like, the reason why them losing in PKs to Sweden is so surprising is this is a team that, like you just said, had a player that scored a hat trick in 20 minutes in the World Cup final. This isn't just some random team. This was the other final team.
Yeah.
And, you know, like we said, they won that game by so many goals.
Yeah, it was like 7-1 or 2 or something. I don't know.
So it's surprising to see them lose, similar to Germany men's team losing in the Euros.
Yeah.
You know, so it was a pretty crazy game that way. Sweden scored a really good goal. Their player just got behind our defense. Hope Solo couldn't get to the ball. And, you know, they end up scoring. And then Alex Morgan scores kind of a lucky goal in the 70th minute, so kind of late in the game. And they have quite a few chances that don't fall for them. Then it goes to extra time. And in extra time, I believe the announcers were saying that both teams had a goal that were offside, that were called offsides that were not offsides after looking at the replay. Yeah, for both teams. The U.S. had one. I believe it was either Carly Lloyd or Kristen Press. I don't remember which one it was, but
yeah,
they had one where it was it was definitely not offsides, and it was a goal, and it would have, you know, that was right in extra time, and it got called offsides. Maybe 5 minutes later, Sweden has a similar situation, gets called offsides, definitely wasn't. So after this kind of crazy match that way, it goes to PKs, and we get our first one blocked by their goalie. And then they go in and score their first couple. And then the next big thing doesn't happen until we actually miss a PK. Like, it just skies over the bar. And Hope Solo is unable to save one of them that she actually gets to. It hits off her hand and goes in, and Sweden ends up winning in PKs. And then the big story that came after that, obviously, besides
her comments.
Yeah, was Hope Solo actually came out and said, we played a bunch of cowards.
Yeah, and so the biggest question, what feels worse, the U.S. loss or the way they handled it?
Exactly, and I shouldn't say all the team handled it like that. That was just Hope Solo. Other members of the team, you know, openly said they did not agree with Hope Solo's point of view.
Sure.
And Hope Solo's always been kind of a
controversy.
Yeah, exactly. So it didn't really surprise me that she said something like that. And honestly, like, obviously I love the U.S. team and I root for them always, but Sweden played a smart game.
Yeah.
Like, let's take this team into PKs. Everybody has the equal chance at winning at PKs.
Yep.
So if you know, for example, if the U.S. men's team was playing Argentina and we could get them to PKs,
yeah,
that'd be great. I would rather take the chance beating them in PKs than trying to outscore them in the 90 minutes.
Which,
you know,
we did in Copa America. And it kind of begs the question, do the elite teams get it done like Argentina did?
Right.
Or if we're going to stick to a game plan, like defend like Sweden.
Yeah.
Then we need to defend, not like Sweden.
Yeah, that is true.
And I don't know, just kind of, we're not there yet. We'll get there, but we're not quite there. One thing that I do want to mention is right before I came here this morning, I caught the last 30-ish minutes of the China-Germany women's quarterfinal. Mm. And I'm curious why we played so early when they just finished.
That is true.
You know what I mean? And it just, I know that leading to the game, the women's team had 3 games in 1 week. And that was just, that's rough. The Brazil isn't as big as the United States, right? But, right. I mean, the routes that they have to travel, the stadiums that are over there, it's just a different culture entirely.
Right.
And to have to travel so much, it just drains you. And I kind of think I get that the Olympics has a lot of events, but I'm wondering if it would do better for soccer anyway, if it had a style much like the World Cup where you at least get a few days rest. Okay. Yeah. Whether or not long jumpers can go and do their event and then travel however many miles away to do their next event, I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
But soccer, you know, is a sport that requires rest between travels and requires some training. Yeah. I would assume that the women's team had to do very light training because they had a game the next day or they had to travel the next day. And it maybe threw them off, you know.
Right.
Am I making excuses for them? No, of course not. But where Germany and China just finished, Germany won 1-0, by the way, and it's Monday. We played our quarterfinal on Friday.
Right.
I mean, it just kind of begs the question of why.
Well, now I wonder when the next game is, the semifinal, because now you look at Sweden, who's been resting since Friday.
Yeah.
Playing a team that
played today. France and Sweden, or not Sweden, France and someone else was playing Canada right when I was leaving. France and Canada were about to start.
Yeah. So Sweden's obviously going to be much more rested whenever they play. So it makes you wonder, you know, and if the U.S. had won, maybe if they would have went on to win gold, maybe that would have been brought up. Like, they had much more rest. And if Sweden goes on to win, maybe that will come up as their reason why they won, you know, because they had so much more rest.
Yeah.
But yeah, the U.S., some of the sports like that we normally dominate at, soccer, women's soccer at least.
Yeah.
USA basketball.
Yep.
Ethan isn't on the show with us anymore, but I think he would be upset if we did not talk about basketball for just a second.
May he rest in peace.
Basically, the U.S. basketball team, I mean, I remember the last Olympics watching them beat teams by 30, 20, 30 points a game. And now they're winning teams barely by, I mean, they've won their last 2 games by 3 points.
Wow.
Against France and Serbia. So,
Serbia, wow.
Yeah, so now they play Spain, who always it gives us a good game. I mean, that was, you know, in the history, that's always been our closer games. And I don't know. It would be so weird if we didn't win gold in basketball. That was one of the sports we didn't even mention for the Olympics, because it's just like a given. Like, oh, yeah, the United States wins in basketball. That's
Michael
pretty much
Phelps
it.
Wins swimming, United States wins basketball.
Exactly, same thing. But, the United States has had kind of a rocky start. And I know a lot of people that I've talked to have said we're kind of waiting for a statement game where we just blow some team out, you know. But, yeah, so that's kind of around the Olympics, at least for what we've been dominating at. Obviously, Michael Phelps, 23 gold medals, most in ever by a single Olympian.
Yeah. I wonder if Michael Phelps is from the West Coast. Across the board, it seems like West Coast teams, be it NFL, NBA. I don't watch a lot of baseball. In fact, I don't know very many people who do watch a lot of baseball. No offense to you baseball fans. I just don't see you guys ever. You got to come out of your rocks so I can get to know you. I love baseball. I watch the World Series every year. But regularly? I mean, come on, they play like 100 and some odd games, do they not?
Yeah, they do.
How do you even keep up? That's like a full-time job with 40 hours overtime every week, man. But no, really, though, I'm wondering if Michael Phelps is from the West Coast, because hands down, it seems across the board that the West Coast just dominates the East Coast when it comes to sports. And I don't want to hear any of that, you know, the Cavs won, you know, against Golden State. Yeah, that's fine. Playoffs are a completely different animal, though.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, come on, Sean. You can't tell me, you can't look at the MLS table right now and say that the West Coast is at least even on par with the East.
So, yeah, no, I definitely agree with you. I remember when they did the new teams coming into the MLS, Orlando, New York City, they restacked how the tables were lined up and everything. Yeah. And the Western Conference kind of got screwed because
we lost Kansas and Houston out of nowhere 1 year.
Yeah.
Right. And then here comes New York City FC, Orlando, as Sean just said. Out goes Chivas USA. I don't know if you remember them.
Yeah.
I don't know if anyone wants to remember them. out goes Chivas USA, and all of a sudden we get Sporting Kansas City and Houston back, and we're just like, great.
Yeah, and so if you look at the tables, we were looking right before the show started, and the top team for us is FC Dallas.
Yep.
Followed by Colorado and L.A.,
And
Real Salt Lake fourth. And if you look at the Eastern Conference, their top place team would be tied for third in the Western.
And that's usually how it is. I'm sure anyone who watches us this year, they mentioned it a few times in last night's broadcast. Everyone talks about, oh, yeah, Real Salt Lake, who had 7 years in the playoffs, missed last year for the very first time. We would have been in if we were on the East side.
Right. And it's just like when we play Western or Eastern teams, like West versus East, New York Red Bull always brings a good game. New York City has been on fire the last couple of games. Frank Lampard finally woke up.
Yeah, nowhere.
But like you look back, we played Chicago, beat them 3-1.
Yep.
I'm trying to think who the last
Philadelphia.
Philadelphia, we beat them. It's just like when we play them, it's almost like we should win these games.
Yeah.
Unless we're playing one of their top teams.
Well, I feel like a handful of teams always have our number. One of those teams is Columbus.
Yeah.
Usually Toronto.
Toronto, yeah, that's right.
Usually kind of gives us some trouble. Mm-hmm. New England here and there, you know, will right. give us a bit of a hard time. But other than that, I mean, listen, we don't want to talk too much crap on the East Coast.
Right.
We're just saying that there's a lot more competition going on in the West.
Yeah, and if you look at this point spread for the Western Conference, I mean, it's close. I mean, even Seattle, that is down towards the bottom of the table, is only maybe two games behind Dallas or Colorado. You know, it's just a really tight group, which is why we were saying it's so important for Real Salt Lake to win.
Or at least draw. Take those 2 points from Seattle.
Right. And we also talked about this kind of before the show, but for the next 3 or 4 games, Real Salt Lake has a really tough schedule.
Yeah, we got Dallas this upcoming week. We have Colorado next Friday.
Right.
Then I think we have L.A.
Yeah.
Go to Portland. Come back.
I don't remember who we play after that.
But we go to San Jose at the 1st of October.
Right.
And that's a tough one.
Right.
You know, they have a brand spanking new stadium, and they're getting their results. I mean, you don't hear about them much. They're staying under the radar.
Right.
But they are getting results.
Yeah. And so that's the thing, is we just have this really tough schedule ahead of us, starting with Seattle, arguably.
Yeah.
And, you know, starting with FC Dallas, I mean, this is going to show where Real Salt Lake falls. Yep. We're playing the top three teams.
Now, listen, we talked about this last time when we played Dallas. Okay, we were doing this show the last time we played Dallas, and Kassar rested pretty much every starter. We were down in Dallas, okay, which is just ridiculously hot in June.
Right.
Okay. So I'm not saying that it's much better here in August.
Yeah.
But I am It's home field advantage. Okay. Yep. It's not going to be as humid. Mm-hmm. We will probably play most of our starters. They just got rid of Castillo. They just sold him to a Peruvian club, I think.
Right.
Maybe not Peruvian. Maybe Panamanian. But he's gone.
Yeah.
Right? And so, I mean, all the cards are there. We just got to get it done.
Exactly.
And I think our coaching staff is working overtime to make sure that it happens.
Yeah, because to sit as high as we've been all season and to have such a good start like we did, which we've been lacking, the last 2 months. Right. Normally, I would say in past years even, like, we always start out super slow.
No, well, I say we – it's kind of like a a plateau, if you will.
Yeah.
Right? So we start off really high in March, April, May, kind of get to the tippy top, right?
Yeah.
And then we have a rough June usually.
Right.
Let's think about it. That's when all the international breaks are, like CONCACAF Champions League – or not Champions League, the CONCACAF Gold Cup, I should say. World Cup,
yeah,
you know, Copa America, you know, all of these international tournaments that come up in June that really take their toll on every team in the league.
Right.
But I mean, that makes planning for, that makes scouting opponents harder. That makes, you know, getting a lineup together harder.
Right.
You know, it makes everything harder. And so we kind of plateau and then almost see a little bit of downhill, you know, in your June, July, August months until we get back up. And listen,
right.
I mean, anyone who knows the league, or even if you're just starting, will reiterate, you do not want to be playing your best soccer in August.
No.
You don't. You want to be playing your best soccer of the season in October and
right.
November. Make that strong playoff push, because the playoffs are a completely different animal
right.
than the regular season. And if we could just get there and get match fit and get 90 minutes ready, get everyone on the same page, I mean, you can turn 2009 when we won the cup, we barely
right.
squeezed into the playoffs.
Right.
The very last day of the regular season. So, I mean, even if you barely squeeze in there and hit a good run, hey, you're champions.
Right. And the thing is, I feel like as a fan, RSL has something to prove in the playoffs.
Yeah.
The last time we were in the playoffs, and I hate to even bring this up because it's just a horrible memory, but we played LA at LA.
Yep.
Lost 5-0.
Yep. I was going to go to that, and last minute I was like, nah, I won't. And I'm glad I didn't.
It was a horrible, you know, still has that horrible taste in my mouth of just like, that's the last memory of Real playoffs that I have.
Yep.
And so we definitely need something to replace that. And hopefully that's a championship. You know, hopefully we can go through and get to the final.
Yeah, we're out of Open Cup contention.
Right.
We're still very alive for the Supporters Shield.
Yep.
Because a lot can happen in the remaining 3 months. But let's get it done. And hopefully we can make that strong push, get some good soccer going on in the next few months.
Yeah.
Figure out what it is that's wrong, because there's something going on, and fix it.
Yeah, and like you said, like, once we get into the playoffs, it seems like Real normally, besides the last time we were in, has a pretty good playoff.
Yeah, they do okay.
Like, and playoff games are probably the most exciting.
They're fun.
If I could tell anybody that hasn't been to a Real game or hasn't been to a playoff game, I would recommend definitely going. These are when our fans are the loudest, the most unified, I would say.
Yeah.
This is when, you know, if you've heard any crazy stories about, you know, your friends or family members going to games and, you know, they were throwing stuff on the field, they were loud. This is probably a playoff game type situation. You know, this is where the opposing players will go to the corner to take their corner kicks.
Yep.
And they get thrown with, you know, streamers and whatever really
sure.
is thrown, you know. the opposing goalie's net is covered in streamers. And we're really loud. I guess if you guys have been to a game or even watched on TV, you've heard probably the music being played from the south goal. And you might hear some chants that are coming. And normally at the games, it's usually the south goal that starts them. Sometimes the supporter section over on, I believe it's section, I think it's section 1 or 37, somewhere over there.
Yeah.
36. Yeah. Okay. So they normally help with the chants as well. And the crowd, obviously, I'm not taking anything away from the fans. Like, they'll pitch in too, But at playoff games, the whole stadium is on the same page, and it's loud, and it's just a really fun atmosphere, especially if we win, obviously. One of my favorite Real Salt Lake memories is from a playoff game. We actually played, I believe it was, I want to say it was L.A. I'm pretty sure. It was 2 years ago, three years ago.
Yeah, I remember.
And we actually had lost to L.A. the first leg, 2-1. Yep. We come back to Rio Tinto and play.
Velasquez scores off the top of his head.
Exactly.
South goal. We
go, yeah.
Schuler mix it in right the dying minutes. Yeah, I remember.
Yeah, it was a great game, and we ended up winning. And it was one of my you know, best memories, most exciting and everything. So I would definitely recommend going to that. Sorry, we got kind of off track fantasizing about playoffs.
Well, let's just talk about that for a minute. You slackers out there, today's Soccer for Slackers, we want to talk about playoffs and other things. So Sean and I have been going off for 3 months-ish now about Major League Soccer, Real Salt Lake. And what many of you guys haven't noticed, all you slackers, is that other parts of the world barely started their regular seasons yesterday. Right. Or at least this weekend.
Yeah.
You know, La Liga in Spain started, EPL started yesterday. You know, Liverpool did really well against Arsenal. And,
right.
I think Man U beat Man City for that City Cup.
Right.
On top of that, Bayern Munich beat Dortmund for their first time in 5 years, I think 4 or 5 years.
Wow.
For that cup anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Bayern Munich has won the league. Insane Obviously. Amount of time. So.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah. And so different parts of the world means that different leagues are on different schedules.
Right.
Obviously.
Right.
And so they all started yesterday, and they do not do playoffs. We have 3 or 4 trophies, depending on how you look at it, that a team can contend for throughout the regular season. One of them is the U.S. Open Cup, which is 5 games.
Yep.
Involves every professional or semi-professional team in the United States. The other one is Major League Soccer MLS Cup. Okay.
Right.
That is the best team of the playoffs, if you will. And the third one, that is the only respected one around the world, but doesn't get too much credit here, is the U.S. or is a MLS Supporter Shield, and that is given to the team with the best record overall throughout a season. In other parts of the world, that is the only trophy that they have. They don't have playoffs that gets them another trophy. It goes to the best team of that league, and that's it. You know, obviously, teams in England have the FA Cup that is much like our U.S. Open Cup.
Right.
Right. And Spain has tons and tons of different trophies they can get.
Right.
But that most coveted trophy here, which is the MLS Cup, doesn't even really exist in other parts of the world.
Right.
What their versions of it is our Supporter Shield.
Right. And I guess, you know, on behalf of Ethan, if he were here, he would be all about that, because that playoff system is very Americanized.
Yes, it is.
And
you know what? I love it.
Yeah, I love it too. I'm not saying I don't like it. I definitely love the playoffs, but it's a very American thing. We have to have a winner. It can't just be like, oh, well, you had the best record, because you have to go out and prove that you can beat all the other teams now.
Yep.
Right. So that's kind of where playoffs come in. And so, yeah, for all you slackers out there, just talking about maybe other leagues that have started up, and maybe bring up like what CDO was saying, like, oh, did you know that these other leagues don't have, you know, playoffs like we do?
Yeah. On top of that, go find yourself a new friend. Ask someone how Barcelona did against Sevilla FC, I think they played.
Right.
Go and talk to them about Liverpool beating Arsenal. Are they an Arsenal fan or a Liverpool fan? I don't know. You know, that's up for you slackers to find out.
Right. And another Soccer for Slackers tip. So this is a hard name, so I'll say it slow. Ibrahimovic. And he got traded from PSG, which is a Paris Saint-Germain.
Best team in France, arguably. Best,
right. And he's older. He's, I think, mid-30s.
He's, yeah.
And he got traded to Manchester United. He scored against Man City in his debut for the EPL. I saw this on ESPN. He's the only player to debut score in Champions League, the France League, and now EPL.
Wow.
all on his debut. So you could talk about that. He's a really good player. He's been around for a long time. He's been kind of bounced around from team to team.
For those of us who don't know too much about Zlatan or, you know, soccer in general, who would you compare him to in other sports that they may know? For Ethan, may he rest in peace.
If I could compare him to another player, because the thing with him is he's been around for a while. He's not really like one of the top, but he's good. For basketball, I would probably compare him to Tony Parker, who's the point guard for the San Antonio Spurs.
Remember his arrogance, okay? Zlatan is really arrogant.
That is true. I forgot. Another soccer for Slackers, if you want to keep talking about Ibrahimovic, before he left a PSG, they asked him what they would do, or what if someone could do something to make him stay. And he said if they would build a statue of him next to the Eiffel Tower, he would stay. Okay.
You can't tell me that wouldn't look good.
It would look good. I would go see it.
Yeah, of course.
Gosh, that's hard to compare him.
I mean, first answer is always going to be LeBron. But he doesn't really fit that.
Yeah, because...
anymore. Because LeBron's not as arrogant anymore.
No, and he's
humbled
results.
Quite a bit.
I would say Kobe, but Kobe was good.
Yeah.
The thing with Zlatan is he's always good, but he's also cocky. But he's not one of the best.
Maybe an older Shaq, like when he played for the Suns.
I could see that, yeah.
Or Steve Nash, even.
Right. So, basically, he's just this guy that he's always top. I would say top 20 players.
Yeah, definitely.
But he's never like one of the top. You know, he's not ever on the same level as Messi and Ronaldo.
Yeah,
he's
or not even Neymar anymore.
Suarez, yeah. So, you know, but he is a really good striker. If you go look up a picture of him, he's kind of intimidating. He's kind of a scary dude. But yeah, so he scored for Manchester United. So you can talk about that, especially if someone at your workplace likes Manchester United. And trust me, you will know if they like Manchester United.
Because they will have to tell you. That's how you can spot them. They have to come and tell you.
I am a Manchester United fan.
Of course you are. See, and I just want those listening right now that he had to come out and let us know, okay, that he was a Man U fan. And everyone else is much more humble and much more confident that their team is better than Man U. I'm sorry. They have a fantastic team this year. It's going to be incredible and really tough to stop them. I mean, they have so many good players, but I just got to give it to you for last season because they had a really bad year last year.
Oh, yeah. No, and for the record, I don't want to soil my name. I am not a Manchester United fan.
You just said you were.
No, I was just saying for those that are, you will know for sure that they are. my loyalty relies with Real Madrid and my boy Ronaldo. Uh-huh. So. Uh-huh. And so in a way I am, because he did come from Manchester United, so I thank them for that.
Okay.
For the best player in the world.
Let me stop you there, though. Let me stop you there. just so you listeners and the Slackers are aware, Sean's boy, a.k.a. Lionel Messi, just came out of retirement for his national team. He said he actually will keep playing for Argentina. Okay, he pulled a Brett Favre on us.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, and because he, in his words, there's a lot going on, and he doesn't want to add to it. And I respect that.
I bet you do.
Yeah.
I'm just saying he had some time to get over his emotional problems or whatever that may entail, because, you know, his life is so hard, all $68 million that he gets paid a year.
Hey, listen, he almost went to jail.
Yeah, because he's a villain. He's a criminal.
Yeah, well, you know what?
Ronaldo didn't go to jail. Ronaldo just played soccer. You know, as much as I'd love to get into Ronaldo versus Messi, we don't have enough time. But we can continue with our Soccer for Slackers or do a preview for next week.
Yeah. Next week we play FC Dallas, as we stated. And
right.
Listen, they just got into the Open Cup final, which won't be played until late September.
Right.
They are always just constantly good. Last year they tied New York Red Bulls for the Supporters Shield Cup on points, and I think only lost because of goal differential. And so what that means is goals scored versus goals scored on them. the lower the number, the better, usually.
Right, and I just looked at their previous games. They played Colorado, tied a few weeks ago. They just tied Kansas City last week. The week before that, they beat LA 2-1. So this is a team that's good. They win. They get results.
Yeah.
You know, there's not a lot of losing in their past games. So, which is, I mean, that's why they're at the top of the table. So Real Salt Lake definitely has a challenge coming up. Like CJ said, last time we played them, Kassar had kind of a crazy substitution where we subbed. And we had all young players.
And yeah, it worked.
And
so you hope that the older ones can come and make it work again.
Exactly.
But so, better.
Yeah, except for a win this time. And so that'll be a good game to watch.
Speaking of, Sean.
Yeah.
Are you going to actually make it to this one or not?
You know, I guess over the radio is a good way to start this. I'm setting up a GoFundMe account if you want to go fund my RSL addictions, because I do not have enough money to go. But if you want to help my addiction,
that's funny, because a real fan always finds a way in.
You know, I know what you're referring to, and I have higher morals than that.
No. I'm just saying. Okay, I have a spare Leo the Lion costume you can borrow, and just be like, you know, you're not supposed to talk anyway as a mascot. So they won't recognize your voice.
If you have a Leo the mascot costume, I will wear it and I will go in. But I don't believe that you have that.
That's unfortunate. I was going to let you borrow a scarf, let you sit with me even. Just so you guys know, Sean and I never sit together because I have to maintain my level of coolness while at the matches.
Let me tell you how the matches go with CJ. CJ does not talk to you the whole game. CJ is very into the game, which is fine. I respect him for that. But, I mean, this starts, like, about 2 hours before the game. So, like, as soon as, you know, say the game's at 8 o'clock, 6 o'clock, no talking to CJ. Because he's focused on the game. You could be not even at the game yet, still driving, and he's just focused. He might have a, you know, maybe a hot dog from Maverick or something, but that's all you hear.
First of all, it's Cheddarwurst.
Oh, sorry.
Get it right.
But
yeah, you would know that if you were a real fan and went to games.
Well, I've went, you know, me and CJ have argued about this for many weeks, but I have argued that I've been to many, many games for not having season tickets.
Yeah. You know what? We'll here's what we'll do then, Sean, to settle this once and for all. We will set up a poll on Twitter. Okay. On our Twitter page. What is it? I don't even know. I don't use Twitter.
Well, assuming I can log into it, it's just Olay Utah State.
So at Olay Utah State.
I will share this on Facebook because all 7 of our listeners, I know you want to hear it. And you guys can go and vote. Should I go to the game this week? Yes or no?
Yeah.
If the poll says yes, I will go.
You will pay too.
I will pay.
Not even a GoFundMe.
Not even a GoFundMe, because I can't actually do that. I'd feel bad. But
if it's a no,
then if you vote no, CJ has to pay for my ticket and I will also go. So I'll put that link up on Facebook. Please go vote, because I would like to go to the game. And I would also like CJ to pay for it.
Yeah, yeah, I'm sure you would.
So that will be going on.
Really, though, if you're all 7 of you guys listening, the people walking out in the hallway right now at the TSC, if you find yourselves at Rio Tinto Stadium this Saturday, make a trip over to Section 9 and come say hello, because, I mean, we love loud fans over there,
right,
to just cheer with us, chat with us, stand with us, talk soccer with us afterwards, you know.
Right.
It's just a lot of fun meeting new people there who love and support Real Salt Lake as much as we do.
Yeah, and we do photo ops, believe it or not. We will take pictures with you guys, sign things if you want us to sign stuff.
Nope.
That's never happened, but I do want it to happen. And I know CJ does too. He loves pictures of himself.
Yes, they're great.
No, but yeah, like you said, if you're at the game on this coming Saturday, come say hi.
I guess you guys, being listeners, have never really seen us. So Sean he's big, he's purple. Some people would call him a dinosaur from our imagination. So just look for that, and I'll be standing right next to him. I'll be the handsome one standing right next to the big purple dinosaur.
I see. CJ looks like a typical soccer fan. It'll be really hard to find him, especially in the sections that we sit in. I can't really say anything more than that, but you'll be able to find us, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, thank you guys so much for listening this week.
Yeah, it's been great, and hopefully we'll see you at the Riot on Saturday.
Go watch the game. If you can't make it to the game because you don't have money, watch it on TV. That's completely fine. I'm endorsing that.
It's not.
And we'll see you guys next week. I'm going to leave you guys with Blink-182 and Aliens Exist.
Oh, okay.
All right, have a good week, guys.